Part 1. The Idea, 1492 to 1799. In the beginning, all the world was America. John Locke, Second Treatise on Government, 1689. Chapter 1. The Nature of the Past. We saw a naked people. A broad-shouldered sea captain from Genoa wrote in his diary, nearing land after weeks of staring at nothing but blue-black sea. Or at least, that's what Christopher Columbus is thought to have written in his diary that day, in October 1492, ink trailing across the page like the line left behind by a snail wandering across a stretch of sand. No one knows for sure what the sea captain wrote that day, because his diary is lost. In the 1530s, before it disappeared, parts of it were copied by a frocked and tonsured Dominican friar named Bartolomé de las Casas. The friar's copy was lost, too, until about 1790, when an old sailor found it in the library of a Spanish duke. In 1894, the widow of another librarian sold to a duchess parchment scraps of what appeared to be Columbus's original. It had his signature and the year 1492 on the cover. After that, the widow disappeared, and with her, whatever else may have been left of the original diary vanished. All of this is unfortunate. None of it is unusual. Most of what once existed is gone. Flesh decays, wood rots, walls fall, books burn. Nature takes one toll, malice another. History is the study of what remains, what's left behind, which can be almost anything, so long as it survives the ravages of time and war. Letters, diaries, DNA, gravestones, coins, television broadcasts, paintings, DVDs, viruses, abandoned Facebook pages, the transcripts of congressional hearings, the ruins of buildings. Some of these things are saved by chance or accident, like the one house that, as if by miracle, still stands after a hurricane razes a town. But most of what historians study survives because it was purposely kept, placed in a box and carried up to an attic, shelved in a library, stored in a museum, photographed or recorded, downloaded to a server, carefully preserved, and even cataloged. All of it together, the accidental and the intentional, this archive of the past, remains, relics, a repository of knowledge, the evidence of what came before, this inheritance, is called the historical record. And it is maddeningly uneven, asymmetrical, and unfair. Relying on so spotty a record requires caution. Still, even its absences speak. "We saw naked people," Columbus wrote in his diary, at least according to the notes taken by Las Casas. "They were a people very poor in everything," the sea captain went on, describing the people he met on an island they called Haiti, land of mountains, but that Columbus called Hispaniola, the little Spanish island, because he thought it had no name. "They lacked weapons," he reported. "They lacked tools. He believed they lacked even a faith. They appeared to have no religion. They lacked guile. They lacked suspicion. I will take 6 of them from here to your highnesses," he wrote, addressing the king and queen of Spain, "in order that they may learn to speak," as if, impossibly, they had no language. Later, he admitted the truth. "None of us understands a word they say." 2 months after he reached Haiti, Columbus prepared to head back to Spain, but off the coast his 3-masted flagship ran aground. Before the ship sank, Columbus's men salvaged the timbers to build a fort. The sunken wreckage has never been found, as lost to history as everything that the people of Haiti said the day a strange sea captain washed up on shore. On the voyage home, on a smaller ship, square-rigged and swift, Columbus wondered about all that he did not understand about the people he'd met, a people he called Indians because he believed he had sailed to the Indies. It occurred to him that it wasn't that they didn't have a religion or a language, but that these things were, to him, mysteries that he could not penetrate, things beyond his comprehension. He needed help. In Barcelona, he hired Ramon Penet, a priest and scholar, to come along on his next voyage, to discover and understand the beliefs and idolatries of the Indians and how they worship their gods. Penet sailed with Columbus in 1493. Arriving in Haiti, Penet met a man named Guadicabanu,